שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוער, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the fourth day, וב בחודש כסלו פרשס וייצא תשע"ו, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 17 November 2015, webcasting from Herzl Judenstadt, meaning not the Jewish state, but the state of Jews. And judging by Herzl's book, Old New Land, he did not envision a particularly Jewish state, but a normal state for people of Jewish extraction. Which makes sense, because his brand of Zionism was the result of the failure of the Reform Judaism he was raised in. Their first Reform temple was built in 1811. Herzl was born a generation later, in 1860. Or rather, it was the second generation of Reform, meaning he was one of the first Reform Jewish babies, the way Moshe Dayan was the first kibbutz baby. And because Herzl grew up in a culture in which he was legally an equal citizen in Budapest first and then Vienna, he suffered hostility as a Jew all his life. And because he finally understood that even though he did not live a classical Jewish life, and did not wear clothing identifying him as a Jew, he was still hated and blocked in his career. Ergo, he realized the Jews had to leave Europe because of anti-Semitism, which was the latest trend in Jew hatred, a new idea. He thought they could create a state just for themselves where they could duplicate the Gentile lifestyle they were accustomed to. Herzl's dream for Jerusalem was not the building of the third and final temple, but the building of an opera house to rival the best in Europe, in Vienna and in Rome, Milan, Paris, where he could go to see the Wagnerian operas that glorified pre-Christian German pagan culture as often as he wanted to. He never imagined the kind of news stories that fill the MSM here daily. His futuristic novel imagined the Judenstadt 20 years after its peaceful founding. But here we are 67 years into statehood, and we find that yesterday morning, Israeli soldiers, in a surprise raid, entered an Arab house to dispossess those who lived inside and blow it up. They did that, but a mob of Arabs threw rocks at the soldiers and firebombs, and before it was over, the soldiers had to shoot dead three Arabs. To which we responded Herzlandia with a yawn and a ho-hum. Because in truth, Israeli soldiers every night of the year raid into Arab areas to arrest the homicidal among them. And of course, to remove all the weapons and ammunition that they accumulate illegally, and whatever else the enemy have, it's part of Israel's daily routine. The diplomacy and security cabinet here in Jerusalem all ruled in the secret that the so-called northern wing of the Islamic movement among the Arabs with citizenship is an illegal organization inciting to violence. This, too, occasioned surprised raids yesterday in many locations around the country to confiscate computers, equipment, weapons, who knows, put a freeze on bank accounts. Last month, the head of this group, Sheikh Ra'ad Salah, was handed another prison term, this one for 11 months. He has been the mastermind of stirring up trouble on the Temple Mount, the guy who sent the wailing women, the Mubaritat ladies, to stand next to Jews peacefully present on the mount and shriek into their faces. Also in the routine news here over the last 48 hours, yesterday it was reported that the GSS and IDF captured last Friday's murderer, which we reported on last time, because his father informed on him. Another son told the father, and the father reported to the IDF, because he feared his house would be demolished. Today, though, he was in full denial, and he had become a big supporter for his heroic son. Who knows the truth? But it points to a truth about our reality here that I took up last webcast in the matter of the same incident in which a Red Crescent ambulance came upon the scene after the murder and then fled. I chose to put myself in the shoes of that Arab crew and give them the benefit of the doubt. And here we are with a similar situation, same story. Our Herzl's Israelis harbor the fantasy that someday the Arabs here will smile upon us, but even if there were a decisive majority that wanted to do that, a significant minority among them would not let them. Raise the possibility of peace with Israel, and there's no shortage of neighbors ready to kill you. How different the Arabs are. In the West, one of its symbols is the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, gift of the French people to the American people, both holding high the value that the right of each individual to freedom must be maximized within the unavoidable constraints of accommodating other people in society, versus the Muslims, whose religion is called submission. That's not liberty. And whose society cannot tolerate differences of opinion. The Jewish people do not lack for leftists who take the side of the enemy, make his case for him, accuse their own side for the terrible situation. In Israel, there's no lack of those who wave the banner of the Palestinians. They are Palestinian patriots of Jewish extraction. Versus the Arabs, the ocean of Arabs that surrounds us on three sides, 300 million plus people, where an individual who speaks up for Israel in public risks being killed on the spot. Try to hold a political demonstration in Cairo's Tahrir Square, protesting anti-Israel activities by the Egyptian government, and the speaker might not last 2 minutes before being shot dead by an outraged Muslim who knows no court would send him to prison. We live in a country of Jews in its seventh decade that can also access by the internet sermons by Muslim clerics in their mosques, like the one about 3 weeks ago broadcast on Hamas TV, who said, quote, "Hitler did not do anything. There is not a single shred of evidence proving that the Holocaust really took place. Today's Zionists are the Nazis. By Allah, they are more Nazi than Hitler. They are more criminal and racist than anyone else on earth. Each, according to their own book and false beliefs, they are more Nazi than Hitler, that criminal killer. But if we compare him to them, they are the Nazis. They are the criminals. They have been lying about the Holocaust all along." Herzl did not have an inkling about the nature and quality of the Arabs who would surround his hoped-for state of Jews. That was a Nazi, or rather Hamas-type religious leader speaking. And as for the allegedly moderate Fatah rivals of Hamas these days, its official Facebook page yesterday posted political cartoons showing Netanyahu helping the ISIS demons in Paris on Friday night aim their guns. Namely, Israel was behind last Friday's eruption of Muslim hell on earth. All this according to the moderate Palestinian Fatah, reported by PMW, Palestinian Media Watch. In addition, the official moderate PA newspaper ran an op-ed that likewise exposed the Mossad as the true mastermind of the massacres in Paris last Friday. Herzl never realized how Jew hatred is classically a kind of mental illness that his acquaintance in Vienna, Dr. Freud, might understand, a kind of hallucinatory dream state in which Jews are imagined to be the most evil people on earth, and especially when the evil at hand comes from within oneself or one's people. Notice the immense power of denial at work here. A Hamas preacher sees Jews as not the victims of Nazis, but worse than the Nazis. And the Fatah group sees the horror in Paris, committed by fellows just like themselves, Muslim Arabs, in the name of their religion, and what they see is the horror in civilization at their activities, and they cannot cope with this truth. In psychological self-defense, they must pass the buck. They accuse the Jews of their own guilt. The Mossad was responsible. This is the dynamic at work, as well, in the invention of the Palestinians. The Arabs have been unable, for Islamic reasons, to respect the right of Jews to live free of their kind of dictatorial society. And what they do is invent a fantasy in which it is the Jews who won't let the authentic ancient owners of Palestine, the Palestinians, have their freedom from Jewish oppression. Thank you. According to Arut Sheva, on Sunday evening, on his Facebook page, veteran Israeli journalist Eldad Beck, reporting from Paris, said the French media was covering the wave of support for France around the globe, but conspicuously absent was any mention of Israeli support, in particular of the impromptu rally the night after the horror in Tel Aviv's Rabin Square by some 5,000 Israelis, some say 10,000, who came to hear speeches by the French ambassador and to listen to Vice Prime Minister Sylvain Shalom and Bogi Herzog and President Emeritus and Oslo criminal Uncle Shimon. The Tel Aviv municipal building was lit up in the colors of the French flag, and I found the whole business saddening for the ignorance and our naivete and post-Jewish provincialism of those in attendance. Eldad Beck's report concerned Europe's view, which was also on display, I say, during the Charlie Hebdo business, when Bibi had to fight for a place in the front line. He said, you know, there's a cosmos of difference between the terror that night before in Paris, Friday night, and the killing of Jews here. The French make no connection. There's no solidarity with Israel. That the rally in Tel Aviv was like a suitor spurned by the object of his affection. France was unmoved by this demonstration and the fine words of the speakers. It didn't used to be that way. In the 1950s, thanks in large part to the hell on earth the Muslims in Algeria were making for France during their rebellion, Frenchmen saw in Israel a fellow victim of Arab cruelty. Indeed, in that decade, the United States was not yet Israel's protector. France was. France had installed the telephone system here. Israeli passports were printed in Hebrew and French, not English. And above all, France was the great weapons supplier. Six-Day War was fought with French weaponry. In 1956, the Sinai campaign was even a joint Israeli-French-British adventure. But after France ran out of Algeria in 1962 and Israel plastered the Arabs in 1967, Charles de Gaulle did a perfect about-face betrayal of Israel, stabbed Israel in the back, insulted Israel, and things have never been the same. Like other European countries in the 1970s, France was hit by PLO terror, and its answer was kowtowing to the terrorists. The French were the first in Europe to meet with Arafat, and they led the way in Europe toward recognizing the PLO as a legitimate political organization instead of a syndicate of international terrorist criminal murderers. Even today, France has been threatening for months now a UN Security Council resolution, basically ordering a 500,000 Jews to get out of their homes and hand everything over to the Muslims. That's why I found the Solidarity Rally last Friday embarrassing and even pathetic. Those in attendance apparently imagined that since the horror of the night before in Paris, the French would reach out to Israel in solidarity as fellow victims of Arab-Muslim terror. Well, Eldad Beck's Facebook post, evidently, contained the message to fellow Israelis that you can forget about that. Nobody in France makes any connection. Terror in Paris and terror in Israel are two separate phenomena. The former clearly an evil horror, the latter understandable. Because, you know, les Juifs ont volé la patrie des anciens Palestiniens. The Jews stole Palestine from the ancient Palestinians. Which brings us truly back to my chronic kvetch about an official Israel that has never gone to war against enemy propaganda, the Palestinian narrative of things. Worse, Israel has assimilated some of the enemy's most basic lies and made them their own. In this, Benjamin Ben-Tzion was classically Israeli in his infamous Bar-Ilan speech, in which he saluted the right of the Palestinians to a state in Judea and Samaria, which did double duty as an attack on the religion of the Jewish people, in which the gift of the Promised Land is central, and no less on the secular Zionism he grew up in, which also posited the right of the Jewish people to restore the barren waste of Eretz Yisrael and live in them as a free people. Bibi simultaneously trashed the Torah and Herzl in one blow. And to this day, official Israel remains perfectly silent, as the enemy daily spews this hallucinatory poison that has become common knowledge around the globe. It was Manfred Gerstenfeld whose research suggests that like 40% of European youth today think we Israelis are acting toward the Arabs the way the Nazis acted towards us. We are committing genocide. Charges like these are made daily, but I never hear Israel's leaders take on this craziness, perhaps because they think it's apparent to all people that it is craziness, when that's an assumption that needs revisiting and investigating. That was Gerstenfeld's research. Indeed, a story over the last week out of Britain is that 3/4 of British Jews believe that the so-called settlements are the major obstacle to peace. And I say this is just another story of assimilation and death among diaspora communities. It tracks very nicely with American surveys, according to which roughly 3/4 of American Jews getting married are not marrying other Jews, and the same roughly 3/4 of them vote for Obama, and did so twice. And if this community in both countries thinks this way and behaves this way, what are the goyim to think? London Times columnist Melanie Phillips has written that in the MSM in England, terror in Israel is barely, if ever, reported on. The only terror stories filed concern the Arabs as targets of Jews. It's as if there's only one side to the violence here. When is Israel, official Israel, going to wake up and counterattack the cavalcade of Arab delusions, of Jewish perfidy, of Arab craziness? The enemy must be exposed for the nut jobs that they are, their leaders in particular, like Abbas and his recent lie about dirty Israeli feet in Al-Aqsa Mosque. And while the new Israeli is at it, he might demolish the very idea of Palestinians with rights to land, rightfully the entire possession of the Jewish people.
יום אשר ברא כונן והקים במלכות שבת שוכן שחכים אם רגלי לא תשקוט ללא מרגוע בחיקה אין אפש את ענה שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם כסותי לבנה הוד ותפארה נחלת עבדי אשר יחידה עדות יקרה התחיל וחילה וליבי טוב ושמח שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם יום שבת תשמח מאוד נפשי לעלות להר קודשי מאתמול תחזיק בקו שישי שבת היום, היום לשם, שבת היום, היום לשם. להשם, שבת היום, היום להשם, שבת היום. שבת היום, היום לשם, שבת היום, היום לשם, שבת היום, היום לשם.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, if this webcast's first two segments focused, as they should, on the day in Israel, even here, local events took a back seat to the nice coincidence of the horror in Paris and the G20 meeting in Antalya, Turkey, where Emir Barak Hussein reenacted the coldness on display last January, when in the same city of lights, the Charlie Hebdo officers were turned into an abattoir, and in his words, some folks were killed in a little grocery store. Only now, the MSM seems to have opened their eyes to this man as never before. For sure, his performance yesterday, over 45 minutes of questions from journalists, left even MSM journalists, American ones, stunned. He defended his strategy, so-called, of leading from behind as the police in France and Belgium at that very moment were frantically searching for the eighth massacre criminal, and in particular one Brussels suburb, Molenbeek, which was exposed as a place with 22 mosques. It's a hotbed of holy war warriors where the mastermind and three others came from on Friday night. Obama's jaw-dropping performance prompted Ted Cruz to speak the truth that non-idolaters have known about this man. He is not interested, said Cruz, in defending America. The civilian Obama also held fast to his desire to import another 10,000 Arabians from Syria, in addition to the 2,000 already reported to be there. He said it would be a betrayal of American values to deny entry to these victims of terrorism in Syria, as if he cares and knows what are American values. And this number is, by one source, these thousands, in addition to the hundreds of thousands of Muslims he has brought into the country since he entered office. This is what he meant in his first campaign for the presidency. He wanted to fundamentally change the country, and in retrospect, in view of his years in office, his primary change, his fundamental change, was first of all making America hospitable to Islam, where he fantasized it displacing Judaism as the second most important religion in the country. And so what was on display yesterday was a variation on the same belief, attitude, thinking, as we saw after the Fort Hood massacre, as we saw last January when he brought up the behavior of the Crusades as Muslims were chopping off heads. This man is a PR guy, he's a press agent, a missionary for Islam. It means on the job, never criticizing it. Islam is never to be spoken of in the same sentence, he said, as terror or terrorism. This is a guiding principle for him. It's no secret he has no name for this enemy other than extremists. They are unnamed, unlabeled. His words last January about some folks gunned down in a grocery store was another one of his acts of anti-Semitism. There's no excuse for what he did, plus his overall refusal to join the Great March. The man is an anti-Semite in league with the foreign ministers of Sweden, who yesterday linked the horror in Paris to the frustrations of the ancient ones, which I find to be classic anti-Jew behavior. In her universe, the Jews are the evil ones, and the Muslims their victims. But here in Paris on Friday night, the Muslims were obviously, and hardly for the first time, the guilt bearers, which truth she cannot bear. The Jews are objects of vilification in her universe, not the Muslims, so when the Muslims are so obviously guilty, she must transfer the guilt to the Jews. Paris massacre makes such anti-Jews unbalanced and uncomfortable. The stability of their inner life is deranged. The Jews are the bad guys, not the Muslims, not the Arabs. And reality reverses that polarity. Anti-Jewesses like her lose their equilibrium. Israel called in the Swedish ambassador to complain about her behavior. The Swedes, like Arabs, denied the plain truth of her remarks. They said she made no link, when of course she did.
ששון בשמחה חתן חתן וחלה אשבר ששון ששון בשמחה חתן חתן וחלה אשבר ששון בשמחה חתן חתן וחלה אשבר ששון ששון בשמחה חתן חתן וחלה Aye aye gilarina Aye aye ditza bechefa Aye 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 ava bechefa Shalom 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 beru Aye aye gilarina Aye aye ditza bechefa Shalom, shalom, v'reu Ashba ha-sason v'simcha Chatan, chatan v'chala Ashba ha-sason Sason besimcha, chatan chatan vechala. Ashbar barabas, sason besimcha, chatan chatan vechala. Ashbar sason, sason besimcha, chatan chatan vechala. Aye gilarina, aye ditza vechefa. Shalom, shalom, berut Aye, gilarina Aye, ditza v'chefa Aye, 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 ava v'achva Shalom, 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 berut Na, 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 Shalom, 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 bereut. Shalom, 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 bereut. Shalom, shalom,
bereut. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday evening, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, man, it's Yisrael.